This is the Brain Song with DJ Frogs, the world's most unlikely DJ with the world's worst microphone, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting round the world at spiritplants.org, port 9000. Turn on TuneIn and visit us on the web at radio.spiritplants.org for schedules, playlists, archives and more. Here is part 9. Of the Brain Song.
Be aware of the physiological symptoms, the increases in heart rate, blood pressure, sweatiness of the palms, butterflies in the stomach, those sorts of things.
Realize that conscious experience is the whole wide world that you see, hear, touch, feel. Your brain is constructing that real world in a medium of conscious perception. The philosophers have coined the word quale in the singular, meaning a particular quality, or qualia in the plural, many qualities. So qualia means things like the color red, the sound of a high C on a violin, the smell of a rose, all of those things. Now, the hard problem of consciousness is that nobody at present understands how the brain creates that medium, how it creates qualia. Because the things that go on in the brain, as studied by neurophysiologists, are quite different. The way in which the brain communicates a message all the way from one part to another is by releasing packets of chemicals in the space between one nerve cell and the next. And of course there are literally billions of these cells and even more billions of connections. So you've got all of these electrical and chemical events going on in the brain, and nobody at present understands how any of those electrochemical goings on can give rise to, for example, the sound of high C on a violin. You can stop and think, what does that sound like, and ask yourself the question, and ask the same question again for the smell of a rose, or the colour red, or whatever you choose, and nobody has an answer to that question. That is the hard problem of consciousness.
Oh, Lordy, that is one surprising sight.
That is hideous.
Wait a minute. This is the prophecy.
The black mountains were invisible, and I saw one white, brilliant, dazzling cloud where the mountains ought to be. This cloud grew more white and dazzling every moment, till a clearer burst of sunlight scattered the mist and revealed the truth. This brilliant white cloud that I had been looking and wondering at was the mountains and snow. The last cloud and mist rolled away over the mountain tops, and the mountain stood up in the clear blue heaven, a long rampart line of dazzling, glittering snow. I stood rooted to the ground, struck with amazement. An intense glare of primrose light streamed from the west, deepening into rose and crimson. There was not a flake of snow anywhere but on the mountains. All the rest of the world of effort lay ruddy, rosy brown. The sudden contrast was tremendous, electrifying. I wanted someone to admire the sight with me. A man came whistling along the road, riding upon a cart horse. I would have stopped him and drawn his attention to the mountains, but I thought he would probably consider me mad. He didn't seem to be the least struck by the great sight, but it seemed to me as if one might never see such a sight again. The great white radiance, which at first gleamed in intense, brilliant yellow light, gradually deepened into the sky, the indescribable red tint that snow fills soon in sunset light. And then the grey, cold tint crept up the great slopes, quenching the rosy warmth which lingered still a few minutes on the summit. Soon, all was cold and grey, and all that was left of the brilliant, gleaming range was the dim, ghostly phantom of the mountain rampart, scarce distinguishable in the grey sky.
This tab of acid. And I was everything was going a bit hazy and a bit weird, and colours are going and all that, and suddenly there's a rap on the door, and I have to go on set. And I'm playing a, thank God, a deaf mute. And I'm playing, thank God, a deaf mute. driving a hearse, an elaborate hearse with black feathers all over it, across the desert, with Stella Stevens lying in a coffin behind. It's pretty heavy going, this thing. And they built a little village out just outside the suburbs of Madrid on a piece of very cheap real estate.
Just beyond the United States Air Force Base.
So underneath the horses' bellies, you can see the F-111s taking off. Which, when you're tripping on us, is a bit confusing. Anyway, I have to sit on the wagon and the two horses there, and I got a rifle in a sheath, double-barreled gun, and the director comes up and he says, right now, when I say action, I want you to take the double-barrel gun and I want you to fire two shots between the horse's head, straight ahead. Put the rifle back in a sheath as you come down, pull your two guns as you go across the square to the church. I want you to fire one, two, three, four into each corner. I want you to drop your guns. I want you to go into the church and up to the first level of the church tower, where you will find four pistols on the windowsill. I want you to fire each of those into each corner of the square. It doesn't matter if they don't go off, we can put the sound on afterwards.
Oh dear, 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 dear.
By then, the horses had all gone kind of pink. And they were talking to each other in Spanish. Talking to each other in Spanish.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I have this extraordinary image of seeing an Errol Flynn pirate film years and years ago where they bring one ship alongside another and they throw these grappling irons down.
Grappling irons down.
And I thought, if I can get my grappling irons down,
I can understand what the director's saying.
And I thought,
if I can get my grappling irons down,
you fire them each corner, you go up to the church or up to the windowsill, and you fire. When I say action, I want you to take the double barrel gun and I want you to fire two shots between the horse's head, straight ahead. Between the horse's head, straight ahead. When I say action, I want you to take the double barrel gun and I want you to fire two shots between the horse's head, straight ahead. Between the horse's head, straight ahead. Put the rifle back in the sheath as you come down, pull your two guns as you go across the square to the church. I want you to fire one, two, three, four into each corner. I want you to drop your guns. I want you to go into the church and up to the first level of the church tower where you will find four pistols on the windowsill. I want you to fire each of those into each corner of the square. It doesn't matter if they don't go off. We can put the sound on afterwards. Can put the sound on afterwards.
Great, I got it. And I kept the grappling irons
going in my mind, and I got them.
And they said action, and I
thumped. And this wonderful rhythm started for dunk, 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 dunk,
down off the wagon, dunk, 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 Cut it, print it.
Thank you, Dudley. You can go home.
Amazing.
Going tink, 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 and they sounded like a priest bell. And I'd tripped and I'd become, and I'd tripped and I'd become, and I'd tripped and I'd become, 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 and I
And I was knocked into a beautiful curving arc, landing and depositing, going tink tink tink,
and they sounded like a priest's bell. And I tripped and I'd become,
Alors, là, c'est un. À l'époque de Rabelais, on consommait beaucoup d'œufs, plus que maintenant. Et là, j'ai choisi de vous faire des œufs pochés. C'est un petit peu ce qu'on appelle maintenant les œufs à la tripe.
That from now on, the thinking about the big questions had started. Never stop.
A new freedom, but one which then closed in.
Supported British Egyptian proposals on cannabis, designed to deny the British their revenue from cannabis in India.
Well, it's an amusing book to read, and it's a very well-researched book, and it's eminently readable. But I'm not convinced by the overall thesis. For example, if it was simply an imperial question, then I don't think you would have what you have today, which is virtually a worldwide prohibition. Secondly, of course, it appeared on the poisons register in the 1920s, not as the result of any imperial decision, but as a result of a decision by the pharmaceutical society.
Poison schedule. The reason they did this was because of an incident of police bungling and media scaremongering in the London West End in the early 1920s, when the police actually arrested two North Africans for supplying opium, when in fact they were simply dealing in cannabis, which at the time they were perfectly legally entitled to do. The police stoked a media campaign against cannabis, and it seems that the Pharmaceutical Society didn't conduct any medical research into the issue. They simply responded to this media scare story.
Even just read this book from Dr. Mills's point of view. What strikes you is that from centuries back, the link between cannabis and mental illness was already being recognised and being researched. And indeed, until he takes us up to the 1920s, there is a great deal of coverage in this book about the various experiments that were done to try and ascertain exactly how dangerous cannabis was.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would make it very clear that the book is neither an argument for or against cannabis, rather it's an appraisal of the history of
cannabis. But you told our researcher that you're a beer and whiskey man, so we know you have no interest in this.
Strictly a beer and whiskey man, I'm afraid. So I think the interesting point about Anne's bringing up science there is that the book does demonstrate that scientists are as divided now as they always have been on the issue of cannabis, and that there have been arguments for and against in the long history of cannabis in the British. The origins of the worldwide ban are very much lie in this League of Nations decision in the 1920s, and the reason so many countries have laws on cannabis is because they were forced to ratify this League of Nations decision, which, as I argue in the book, very much lies in the politic in an international conference, and certainly wasn't supported by any scientific or medical evidence.
So it all dates back to...
I don't buy that. For a start, that rather ignores the fact that since that time, and you're talking about the 20s, you know, and we're now into a new century, that since that time, most Western democracies, at the very least, have reviewed their drugs laws many, many times. And have always come to the same conclusion. Which is that for a series of reasons, both health and law and order, they should stay prohibited. So I really don't buy into that. It's always tempting to try and trace something's origin and pretend that the story stopped there. It didn't stop there.
Cannabis Britannica.
Rabelais invented a word to differentiate between people who love, what you might call the healthy tendency, and those who never love, the agalast, as he called them, or agalastoi. They are the unhealthy tendency, the enemy, the inhuman, because to refuse to laugh is inhuman.
People who never laugh, agalast, today we have plenty. They are not the same ones, they are not the scholasticians of the Sorbonne, but they are, let's say, the fundamentalists, they are the terrorists, the agalast today in political, intellectual, moral fields are legion, and the best, I think, one of the best remedies to this agalastic tendency is still Rabelais. Laughter is something that comes from the body, actually from the whole man, the three parts of man, soul, body, and mind. If you're interested only in soul or only in mind and forget the body, then you are not a humanist in the full and ambitious meaning of the word.
Golden ancient image, but six were tall, and took me on a journey, and there we flew over a rainbow.
You remember what happened at Brignoles? How Sister Fatbum the nun was got with child by that lecherous young monk Stiffcock, and how, when her pregnancy was discovered, she was cited by the abbess in full chapter and accused of incest. She defended herself that it had not been done with her consent. The abbess cut her short, crying, "You wicked creature! It was in the dormitory! Why didn't you shout out? We would have all come to your help." But the nun answered that she dared not shout in the dormitory because the dormitory is a place of perpetual silence. "But why didn't you come and tell me immediately, you hussy?" demanded the abbess, "and make a proper accusation against him." "Well," answered Fatbum, "after it happened, I was afraid of remaining in a state of sin and damnation in case I was overtaken by sudden death. So I confessed to him before he went out of the room, and he enjoined me as a penitence not to tell anyone and not ever to reveal it."
For centuries, mental disorder was considered to be due to possession by devils. The sick people were chained in foul dungeons from which few escaped alive. Only in the past 20 years have physical methods been developed for treatment of the mentally ill. The nurse holds a towel over the nose and mouth of the patient. The operator lifts the upper eyelid, inserts the lubrifilm into the conjunctival sac, and aims it parallel with the bony ridge of the nose. He drives the point through the orbital plate, and at a depth of 5 centimeters, swings the handle far laterally.
We
The mind is some touchy-feely thing. 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 The mind is some touchy-feely thing.
Let's say the name Paul. One woman snapped at her knees and said, "Oh, no, don't name the baby Paul. That's such an ugly gray color." And then she caught herself and said, "But to me, it's ugly and it affects how I feel about somebody who has that name."
We still got this big gap between the subjective experience on the one hand and this question of whether it corresponds to something out there, something external on the other.
Kesey got together a group of oddball maverick types, put them on a bus, and then just motored around America in it. The Merry Pranksters, as Kesey called them, organized acid tests, chaotic, drug-fueled happenings at which copious amounts of LSD were handed out.
Kesey was very bold about that. A lot of people don't have masks, he just was having larger ones. The really seminal event was the Trips Festival, which started out with as an idea of a sort of an arts happening sort of event with all sorts of acts, but which basically turned into kind of like more acid tests. But that was so public and so outrageous. Society people started paying attention and coming then. The aim of it was pretty much the opposite of the aim of psychedelic use as envisioned by Timothy Leary, which was you wanted to control the set and the setting so that you wouldn't have a panic reaction. Which could get magnified when you're still on a psychedelic into what was colloquially known as a freak-out. Kesey was much more experimental. He had a group called the Merry Pranksters who were going around trying to make things as weird as possible for everybody. They were wearing costumes, space costumes, and things like that. I mean, I knew people who would take LSD and go to a fire or a race riot or something just to find out how they would handle something like that.
Do you think that your movement or your idea, the hip idea, is essentially connected up with drugs?
Yeah, I would say that's a large part of the framework.
I think that most of the people who are hippies now came to it through drugs.
Yeah, but it's not a dope movement. We're not trying to
Yeah, well, I think, personally, that the more people turn on, the better world it's going to be.
Vivid, three-dimensional world. This
It is a medical commonplace that the tissues of the human body replace themselves regularly, essentially creating an entirely new body every 7 years. From whence then come cancer and the slow degeneration of age?
They exist as faults in the patterns of intelligence within the genes themselves. By reprogramming these smallest parts, the whole becomes well.
Life is merely an orderly decay of energy states, and survival requires the continual discovery of new energy to pump into the system. He who controls the sources of energy controls the means of survival.
The righteous need not cower before the drumbeat of human progress. Though the song of yesterday fades into the challenge of tomorrow, God still watches and judges us. Evil lurks in the data links as it lurked in the streets of yesteryear. But it was never the streets that were evil. Sister Miriam Godwinson, the blessed struggle.
Have you ever wondered why clouds behave in such familiar ways when each specimen is so unique? Or why the energy exchange market is so unpredictable? In the coming age, we must develop and apply non-linear mathematical models to real-world phenomena. We shall seek and find the hidden fractal keys which can unravel the chaos. Academician Prokhor Zakharov, University Commencement.
I hold a scrap of paper in the darkness and light it. I watch it burn bright and curl, disappearing into nothingness, and the heat burns my fingers. Where has it gone? What has it become? I cannot shake the feeling that I witnessed a form of transcendence.
I sit in my cubicle here on the mother world. When I die, they put my body in a box and dispose of it in the cold ground. And in all the million ages to come, I will never breathe or laugh or twitch again. So won't you run and play with me here among the mass of humanity? The universe has spared us this moment. The sea is everything. It covers seven tenths of the globe. Its breath is pure and healthy. It is an immense desert where man is never alone. For he can feel life quivering all about him. The sea is only a receptacle for all the prodigious supernatural things that exist. It is only movement and the living infinite. It is the living infinite.
We are all aware that the senses can be deceived, the eyes fooled. But how can we be sure our senses are not being deceived at any particular time, or even all of the time? Might I just be a brain in a tank somewhere? Tricked all my life into believing in the events of this world by some insane computer? And does my life gain or lose meaning based on my reaction to such solipsism?
Project Pyro, Specimen 46, Vat 7. Activity recorded mission year 2302-22467. Termination of specimen advised.
Heaven lasts long, and earth abides. What is the secret of their durability? Is it because they do not live for themselves, but they endure so long?
We hope life to be sacred, but we also know the foundation of life consists of a stream of codes, not so different from successive frames of watchmen. Why then cannot we cut one code short here and start another there? Is life so
Fragile, so that it can withstand no tempest, no improvement. Time travel, in the classic sense, has no place in rational theory. But temporal distortion does exist on the quantum level, and more important, it can be controlled. Man's unfailing capacity to believe what he prefers to be true, rather than what the evidence shows to be likely and possible, has always astounded me.
We long for a caring universe which will save us from our childish mistakes, and in the face of mountains of evidence to the contrary, we will pin all our hopes on the slimmest of doubts. God has not been proven not to exist, therefore he must exist.
Some would ask, how could a perfect God create a universe filled with so much as evil? Why would a perfect God create a universe?
Therefore,
learn to overcome the crass demands of flesh and bone, for they warp the matrix through which we perceive the world. Extend your awareness outward, beyond the self of body, to embrace the self of truth and the self of humanity. The goals of the group and the greater race are transcendent, and to embrace them is to achieve enlightenment.
Einstein
would turn over in his grave. Not only does God play dice,
through which we perceive the world.
Without sensibility, no object would be given to us. Without understanding, no object would be thought. Thoughts without content are empty. Intuitions without concepts are blind. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Pure Reason, Data Links.
Sometimes they're watching me.
As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance? And can substance be tricked into hiding from itself? As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Thoughts without content are empty. Intuitions without concepts are blind. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Pure Reason, Data Links.
Regresses infinitely towards smaller and smaller components.
As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance? And can substance be tricked into hiding from itself? As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance?
Yes, yes,
and can substance be tricked into hiding from itself?
The substructure of the universe regresses infinitely towards smaller and smaller components. Behind atoms we find electrons, and behind electrons quarks. Each layer unraveled reveals new secrets, but also new mysteries.
Yes, yes, we've all heard the philosophers talking about oneness being beautiful and holy. But let me tell you that this kind of oneness certainly isn't pretty. And if you're not careful, it will scare the big Jesus out of you.
The fungus of being chronic dominant life forms is about the time of the lower Paleozoic formation. But when once every 100 million years or so, the neural net at last achieves the critical mass necessary to become
It is possible that we humans can help to break this tragic cycle.
Time dilates as the speed of light approaches. To the extent that light consists of particles, it is in its own way timeless. Through simple perturbations of the temporal manifold, we can refract or repel most efficiently.
The mind worm, in which unassimilated thought represents danger, the mind worm seeks out concentrations of sentient mental energy and destroys them.
The substructure of the universe regresses infinitely towards smaller and smaller components. Behind atoms we find electrons, and behind electrons quarks. Each layer unraveled reveals new secrets, but also new mysteries.
We sit together, the mountain and I, until only the mountain remains. There are only two ways in which we can account for a necessary agreement of experience with the concepts of its objects. Either experience makes these concepts possible, or these
there
concepts
are only two
make experience
ways in which we can account for
at atrociously high energy states, the properties
the
of matter change
objects,
subtly, and new miracles
either experience
become
makes these concepts
the plasma
possible,
accretion process is
or
now
these
dangerous and difficult
make experience
to control,
possible.
But its products will soon
at
become
atrociously high
in
energy states,
the genetic code does not and cannot specify the nature and the position of every capillary in the body or every neuron in the brain. What it can do is describe the underlying fractal pattern which creates them.
In our society.
I maintain
the genetic code does not and cannot can be specify the nature and
with
position of every capillary in the body or every neuron in the brain.
Mind
what it can
body.
Do north is describe
south.
The underlying
pleasure without pain,
which creates that.
Enlightenment is a function of willfulness, not of physical strength can be overcome.
Not only does God play dice, the dice are loaded.
Without sensibility, no object would be given to us. Without understanding, no object would be thought. Thoughts without content are empty. Intuitions without concepts are blind. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Pure Reason, Data Links.
I swear, sometimes they're watching me.
As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance? And can substance be tricked into hiding from itself? As I stepped onto the mag tube, a thought struck me. Can there be friction where there is no substance? And can substance be tricked into hiding from itself?
The substructure of the universe regresses infinitely toward smaller and smaller components. Behind atoms we find electrons, and behind electrons quarks. Each layer unraveled reveals new secrets, but also new mysteries.
Yes, yes, we've all heard the philosophers babble about oneness being beautiful and holy. But let me tell you that this kind of oneness certainly isn't pretty. And if you're not careful, it will scare the bejesus out of you.
The fungus has been planet's dominant life form since about the time of the Lower Paleozoic on Earth. But when once every 100 million years or so, the neural net at last achieves the critical mass necessary to become sentient, the final metamorphosis kills off most of the other life on the planet. It is possible that we humans can help to break this tragic cycle.
Time dilates as the speed of light approaches. To the extent that light consists of particles, it is in its own way timeless. Through simple perturbations of the temporal manifold, we can refract or repel photons most efficiently.
The mind worms are the natural defenses of the living planet, the white blood cells, if you will. In a world in which unassimilated thought represents danger, the mind worm seeks out concentrations of sentient mental energy and destroys them ruthlessly and efficiently.
The substructure of the universe regresses infinitely toward smaller and smaller components. Behind atoms we find electrons, and behind electrons, quarks. Each layer unraveled reveals new secrets, but also new mysteries.
We sit together, the mountain and I, until only the mountain remains. There are only two ways in which we can account for a necessary agreement of experience with the concepts of its objects. Either experience makes these concepts possible, or these concepts make experience possible.
At atrociously high energy states, the properties of matter change subtly, and new miracles become possible. The plasma accretion process is now dangerous and difficult to control, but its products will soon become commonplace in our society.
The genetic code does not and cannot specify the nature and position of every capillary in the body or every neuron in the brain. What it can do is describe the underlying fractal pattern which creates them.
I maintain nonetheless that yin-yang dualism can be overcome. With sufficient enlightenment, we can give substance to any distinction. Mind without body, north without south, pleasure without pain. Remember, enlightenment is a function of willpower, not of physical strength.
The human brain, it has been said, is the most complexly organized structure in the universe. And to appreciate this, you just have to look at some numbers. The brain is made up of 100 billion nerve cells and neurons, which is the basic structural and functional units of the nervous system. Each neuron makes something like 1,000 to 10,000 contacts with other neurons, and these points of contact are called synapses that exchange the information occurs. And based on this information, someone has calculated the number of possible permutations and combinations of brain activity. In other words, the number of brain states exceeds the number of elementary particles in the known universe.
The classical frontal lobotomy, which is simply putting a knife up under the eyebrow ridge and sweeping it backwards and forwards. And this is actually sometimes done without any anesthetic.
There's been this picture of him with an ice pick where he destroyed the tissue in the front part of the brain, which is horrific.
We have made the burhole,
and then the dura has to be opened, which is a hard layer just on top of the brain.
So here we are cutting the dura, and then we go through the brain, and from here,
which is about 24 or 25 millimeters away from target, we start entering into the internal capsule until we reach target point.
Then we can actually insert microelectrodes. It's very, very tiny, and it can actually listen to the activity of one neuron inside the brain. And the activity of neurons changes from one structure to another.
And it was passing a hole, there's a mirror in the hole, and I connect line stars. I thought my thesis
drifted. I see the sandal of our flower child.
Only when we are silent can we begin to hear the voice that is truly our own. What the Quakers call the still small voice within. The source of this voice, which may be without sound and yet is heard, is called by many different names. The inner guide, guardian angel, spirit guide, the collective unconscious, or just plain intuition. Actually, all of us hear the whisperings of this voice every single day of our lives, but many ignore it.
Listen in deep silence. Be very still and open your mind. Sink deep into the peace that waits for you, beyond the frantic, riotous thoughts and sights and sounds of this insane world.
There are many stars as we have in our solar system explode.
synapses get all tangled up, as well as some protein that covers the brain. So it's called plaques and tangles. That's what physiologists call the symptomology.
Biomolecules interact according to laws of physics and chemistry.
And is that how you explain things like love?
Yes.
But all human emotions you can be mechanically explained.
Well, if we accept that we are machines, which I think is what modern science is telling us.
People can forget things and then recover them, but we really don't know what the mechanism is of that. We've got a few clues, we've got some interesting experiments which suggest that you can tell people to forget something and they will forget it. So, some psychologists would argue inhibitory mechanisms, things like blocking that of consciousness, really are a plausible candidate to explain this. But we just don't have the evidence yet.
Mathematical experiments made possible by funds from the Fallout's lottery program have met with great success. Just 48 hours ago, our scientists tore into the very fabric of the time-space continuum and retrieved their first specimen. And a magnificent specimen it is. This gigantic winged living beast was eventually subdued and is being held on Outpost 6. The obese, sentient individual weighing in at more than 5 tons refers to himself only as the Dark Lord. All questions pertaining to his origin have been met with increasing resistance. Intelligence testing has already begun on this unique subject, with Father Ryan himself performing the final brain trial. As testing of this type is always fatal, all officers holding authorization class 4 or higher are welcome to Outpost 6 to witness the demise of this monstrous spectre. This surely is an event you will not want to miss. This message is brought to you by our benevolent leader, Father Ryan. All hail, Father Ryan.
Uncover one of the darkest and most disturbing secrets.
All security personnel, a priority 4 extermination order is issued for the following individual. Be on the lookout for a humanoid measuring 2.5 feet in height with wing-like protrusions from its back. The suspect is in violation of the following codes: 41-9, infiltration of Class A, B, and D security zones with intent to commit sabotage. 21-12, purposeful destruction of property and personnel, and 143-1, general mischief involving firearms. Suspect matches no known species ID pattern and is therefore in violation of the Genetic Manipulation Act or Legal Planetary Residence Order 515. Approach suspect with caution. Consider it a threat.
The adrenaline reaction is also, unfortunately, in the English language, confused by the word nerves, because nerves describes the emotion of fear, but nerves also describes the nerviness or shakiness of the adrenaline reaction.
William Hague asking, William Hague, who's shadow cabinet to do cannabis, and all those Tory backbenchers just jumped down with me, William, what cannabis?
It's believed that the actual letters, the sacred sounds of the letters, have an impact on the soul and on the heart. The very sound of those letters have a meaning, and there's a whole theory about these sacred sounds, that the entire universe is actually built upon these sacred sounds. The reciter will always use his voice to enhance or embellish the actual meaning of the verse, and this is a science.
LSD.
The very sounds of those letters have a meaning, and there's a whole theory about these sacred sounds, that the entire universe is actually built upon these sacred sounds.
It's believed that the actual letters, the sacred sounds of the letters, have an impact on the soul and on the heart.
Repression, Delicate film, Will the name say, he was a man who used to notice such things? If it be in the dusk when like an eyelid's soundless blink, the dewfall comes across the shades to a light upon the wind-warped upland floor, a gazing, they think, to him, This must be a familiar sight. If, when hearing that I am still at last, they stand at the door, watching the full starred heavens that winter sees, will this thought rise on those who meet my face no more? He was one who had an eye for such mysteries. And will he say when my bell of acquittance is heard in gloom, and the crossing breeze cuts its pause till they rise again, as they were a new bell's boom? He hears it not now, but used to notice such things.
If I read, say, a paragraph of 50, 60 words, there may be 10, 15, 20, 30 of those words bring up a flavour. And as I'm reading the word, I'll read here. During the lifetime of this journey, there have appeared on its pages a goodly number of cases. I find that difficult to read. I'm getting strawberry jam sandwiches when I say life. I'm getting mints when I say time. This tomato soup. But I've got that all the time, so that's when I read, when somebody speaks to me. I've got to get through this filter first before I can try and understand what's being said.
I was listening to Krishnamurti on a spring day at his school grounds in Ojai Valley. He sat on a single wooden chair, a slight old man with a commanding presence. There were a thousand of us resting on the grass, sheltered beneath a grove of ancient live oaks. All our focus was devoted to the speaker, who challenged everything we knew about life, about ourselves. He spoke of true attention. Are you really listening? Not with the limited ideas of a thought or reflection, but in the utter silence beyond the mind. And in that instant, my mind stopped. I entered an enormous stillness. The grove seemed to expand and float, as if it were the center of the galaxy. The words came out of the trees. I felt I was totally alive, yet dead, beyond myself. All was filled with light, and a timeless, bound space was all that existed, ever. As the words drifted through like a dream, I knew that I had to let go of Krishnamurti. As if your awakening were contagious.
Very energy dense, 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 very energy dense
direction in which the energy goes as they descend. The second one is sensing and intuition. Essentially, that's about common sense, realistic approach to life, versus a more speculative, more interested in possibilities approach to life. Okay? Third one is thinking versus feeling. Thinking is about making decisions in an objective, analytic, logical way. Feeling is about making decisions on the basis of like or dislike. And judging and perceiving are perhaps the most visible of the preferences. Judging is a preference for an organized, structured way of life, planning ahead. Perceiving is a preference for an easygoing, flexible, let's see what turns up way of life.
Can you do infinitely many things? Can they do it or something else? Can they do it or so many things? 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 So many things, 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 so many things.
For a life process to run smoothly, conditions inside an organism need to stay relatively stable. The process of keeping the internal conditions in a balanced state is called homeostasis. Examples of homeostasis include keeping water levels balanced, controlling body temperature, and responding to external and internal stimuli.
This is The Brain Song with DJ Frogs, the world's most unlikely DJ with the world's worst microphone, on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting round the world at spiritplants.org, port 9000. Turn on TuneIn and visit us on the web at radio.spiritplants.org for schedules, playlists, archives and more.
Peter, Paul and Mrs. Nosepoultice.
Flies in the buttermilk 2x2, flies in the buttermilk 2x2, flies in the buttermilk 2x2,
and blue bottles in your yogurt.
Yes, I'd change my milkman if I were you. Now, what plaintive ditty are you going to eviscerate for us this week?
I beg yours?
Sing.
Oh, well, here's a song we came across when we was doing a concert in Dead Man's Gulch, just outside Bootle. And it goes like this.
On top of Old Smoky, all covered in snow. There's no place for courting at 30 below.
The snow gets in places,
too awful to tell.
And you feel like a sequel to Eskimo Nell.
Just as you get started, the temperature falls.
It freezes your fingers,
and that isn't all.
When you see Julie Andrews, then tell her, oh please.
If she climbs every mountain,
she'll come down on her knees.
She'll come down on her knees.